Even before then-Governor Pat Quinn signed the pension overhaul into law just over a year ago, everyone knew it would come to this.
Court will now call case 118585 in re-pension reform litigation.
Unions had made clear from the onset that they would sue to prevent the law from ever taking effect, and therefore from ever cutting into their members' retirement benefits, benefits that Gwen Harrison, a librarian for the Secretary of State in Springfield, says she was promised when she took the job.
This isn't only about the Constitution, which is crystal clear. This is about fairness. I paid my share faithfully out of every single paycheck, and working people like me who earn a modest pension shouldn't be punished for the failures of politicians.
The 2013 law would cut into Harrison's benefits, as well as that of all other state employees, teachers outside of Chicago, and public university professors in a couple of ways. No longer would they get a 3% compounded cost of living increase every year in retirement, and for several years, COLAs would be skipped entirely. The package also hikes the retirement age for younger workers. It does include some offsets. Employees would see less of their paychecks being diverted toward their retirement, and it basically forces the state to pay its share toward pensions going forward. Years of politicians using money that was supposed to go toward pensions for other needs is largely how the state built its $111 billion pension debt in the first place. Pension debt's largely why the state has the nation's worst credit rating, and that's part of the reason the state gives as why the reductions are now necessary. To attorneys like Aaron Matiff, who represents university beneficiaries, that's circular logic.
What kind of a message would an opinion from this court saying that the state can come in and create the problem? I hesitate to say the Lizzie Borden defense, but I've killed my parents, have mercy on me, I'm an orphan. I mean, this is a situation of the state's making.
For Matiff and the team of attorneys representing unions, workers, and retirees, it comes down to the last few words in a single sentence in the Illinois Constitution. It says, retirement benefits shall not be diminished or impaired. Gino DeVito, another plaintiff's lawyer, says that's pretty clear-cut.
The pension protection clause is plain, clear, unambiguous.
So far, the law is on their side. A Sangamon County Circuit Court judge ruled in November that the pension overhaul was unconstitutional on its face because of that pension clause. And in a separate case known as Kinerva, the Illinois Supreme Court handed down an opinion just last year that says health care subsidies promised by the state to retirees count as a protected pension benefit. But then, the state didn't use the argument it used in this case, that it has police powers it can implement in emergencies. Here's Solicitor General Carolyn Shapiro.
Plaintiff's position is remarkable. If there were prolonged deflation, such that every penny of state revenue was going to pay pensions, no changes could be made. If the state's bond rating collapsed, rendering borrowing prohibitively expensive, pensions would be entirely off limits, regardless of the essential state services that might have to be eliminated. And if there were a catastrophic epidemic or a natural disaster, pensions could not be even temporarily reduced, even at the expense of life-saving services for most of the state. Now, these scenarios may seem extreme. They are.
While the employees' attorneys focused on the latter part of the pension clause, Shapiro honed in on three other keywords in the sentence: enforceable contractual relationship. Shapiro says that 150 years of case law allow for contracts to be modified in cases of emergency, and pensions are no exception.
If public pensions have an absolute protection, then they are not contractual relationships.
Shapiro's asking the Supreme Court to uphold the law's tenets and then send it back to a lower court to decide if the police powers threshold has been met. At least one justice, Robert Thomas, didn't appear to be persuaded. Thomas peppered Shapiro with questions like this one.
If the court holds that the state can invoke its police powers to violate core constitutional guarantees to respond to an emergency that at least arguably the state itself created, then aren't we giving the state the power to modify its contractual obligations whenever it wants?
Thomas also wondered how Illinois could act like it has exhausted all other alternatives for climbing out of a fiscal emergency, given that the income tax rate went down at the start of this year. He called it incongruous. The justice's line of questioning was enough to make Democratic Senator Kwame Raoul, who had a front row seat for the arguments, pessimistic about its chances for survival.
The indications are that we'll be back, that there won't be a remand, and we'll be back to to the negotiation table.
For all of the speculation, there's really no telling what the court will do or when they'll make the decision. That holds true even for one of the law's main sponsors, the powerful Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, who said shortly after its passage,
"We'll all just wait to see what the seven justices do."
Reporters included. Whatever they decide, the justices' own pensions won't be affected. Madigan says judicial pensions were exempted from the law to relieve them of the burden of dealing with a conflict of interest. I'm Amanda Vinicky.